And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, January the 10th, 2026, a brand new year. I sound weird. Do I sound weird to you?
No.
I sound weird to me.
No, I know it's been a while, but you still sound the same to me.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. Yeah. I don't know. That sounds weird to me. Mm. I don't know if it sounds weird to anybody else.
Sounds cold?
No. Sounds weird in my headphones.
Are you stopped up?
No. Just sounds weird in my head. Weird in my headphones.
Okay.
Like, something different. Hmm. I'm not sure what. Anything in Q, maybe? No. Strange. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just not used to hearing my... I don't know. Yeah. It sounds odd, but if everything sounds fine on your end, then I'm fine.
Yep.
Just let me be the paranoid me that I can be. Anyway, we're in season 20. 20 years.
Yeah.
We're working on our 20th year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Episode 1. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. For the 20th time. No, for the ever. No, for the 836th time.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past 20 years. So, welcome in. Oh, goodness. If you want to know, it's been 2 weeks, like I've never done this before. If you want to get in touch with us, you can use Discord. We're doing that sort of thing. We're on Twitch right now. Go to ingamechat.net. You can find the links that will get you in touch with us, whether you want to use email. We're on the Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Facebook. You can also find us, like I said, at ingamechat.net. Then you can email us. We're streaming on Twitch right now. Go to twitch.tv. And type in game chat in the search bar. Just go to our website and scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll find a link. You'll find a link to our Discord and to our Twitch there as well. And then you can join us while we talk, chat, about video games. Of which we're going to be doing today because it's been 2 weeks. I don't necessarily know that we have a lot of video game things to talk about. But it has been 2 weeks, and there were sales, and there were Christmases, and there was New Year's, and there were time off, and there were times to play. Oh, yeah. Before I forget. Again, it's been 2 weeks, and I have to do this. So, I forget sometimes. Because apparently, in 2 weeks, my brain thinks of other things and doesn't remember the routine. Anyway, welcome into the show. Like I said, it has been some time, and I'm picking up everything.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is picking up everything.
Yeah, must have been some setting changes over the weeks that we haven't accounted for.
I don't think so. I think it's just me being weird. Can you hear that?
I heard it cut off.
You did, because what you heard the noise go away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did somebody adjust? I'm so sorry, everybody. Yeah, everything's fine. That I can tell.
How old is this equipment again?
Older than me.
Hmm.
We're about the same age, actually. In some of it. Some of it we are. Yeah, I might flip mics, like, during the break. I might swing this one around, swing this one back over, and I might use that. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Just to see. In fact, I can pop this up, and let's see.
Yeah.
That would be the one. That would be the way to go. Mm-hmm. I don't remember hearing, like, all this
background. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's coming in real hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was throwing me off. Mm. Weird, and I'm so sorry. This is not something we can really test, I guess, because I didn't think it would be there. And then, you know, you start the show and it's like, what is this? Why do I hear this? So anyway, I'm not sure. Could be that my headphones are too loud or something. I'm not sure. I'm just adjusting. Anyway, that's it. On-air technical assistance is actually what we're doing right now. So it's been 2 weeks and we got plenty to go into. But of course, I'm going to throw it to you as I always do, RJ, and find out what have you played, and also, did you pick anything up, you know?
Let's see. Well, for the most part, playing-wise, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto Online because there's been a lot of bonuses and perks being given to players. Feels like the last hurrah for GTA Online because, of course, they're prepping for GTA 6, and I guess when that rolls around, they're going to drop support or give less support than normal for the game. But, there's been a lot of bonuses in terms of motorcycle club businesses, sales, and things given away free, double rewards of money and XP for various things. So I've been doing a lot of that lately. Played a bit more of MLB The Show 2025. Still doing a franchise and a season in that game, so I'm still having fun with that. Got back into the swing of things with the Virtua Fighter 5 Revo. Because I was busy with, of course, New Year's and Christmas, family gatherings, helping my folks get to and from where they needed to go.
Right.
So I finally got back into the league play with that. In terms of picking anything up, GameStop had one of those buy two get one free sales on used titles.
I was going to say, is it on the used titles then?
Yeah, yeah. So I picked up a few titles and I had three in mind. But
sorry, this sounds really bad. It sounds so much better.
Yeah, but I had three titles in mind, of course, but as always, it never fails. It never fails buy two, get one free sale. You'll find two immediately, but that third one is always elusive. And if it's elusive, you don't have a backup to get something else. So you're just looking around, finding something that'll fill that requirement, right?
That's happened to me with those, usually buy two, get this, or sometimes Amazon will run like here's 4K movie deal. Like if you buy this many, it's only going to cost you this much. And, you know, I'll look through there and I was like, I could buy that. And then I look and I'm like, I don't really need that. I don't really want that. And by the time I get done, like, being indecisive, I come full circle back to the point of, I don't need any of this. What am I doing? And then it's like, I never buy anything.
Here's another one. Don't I have that?
Well, there's that too.
Yeah, you were looking at like, wait, don't I have that one already?
So, Sometimes I know I have it and I'm just like, but I don't have it physically, right? Like, I have it digitally, but I don't have it physically. As if some way that justifies it.
No.
For you, it does.
It's a collectible.
I know.
It's something in your hand. Hell. So in case something goes wrong with the network, you still got something in your hand you can play regardless.
Yeah, I know. For you, it absolutely, matters that it's physical to digital.
Yeah, I've had to double dip sometimes, especially on a few movies. Got the DVD version, then I got the Blu-ray version, then I got the upgraded 4K
version.
Yeah, things like that. But
trust me, I've been down that double dip, triple dip road many a time.
Yeah. But I picked up the title I ended up picking up was PGA 2K5.
Okay,
golf. I picked up Demon's Souls, so I finally got the remake of Demon's Souls for the PS5. And
that's right, you have a PS5. You're getting PS5 titles.
Yeah. So now
and you already have Astrobot, right?
I've got Astrobot.
You already have Astrobot.
It came with the console, so I got that already.
Good.
Yeah, and then the third one I picked up was Armored Core 6.
That's also from software. Yeah,
from software. So I picked those three up. So I got those ready to put in the from the console when ready. But I also did pick up a external hard drive, 8 terabit external hard drive, so I could put more games on there, because I did the same thing for the PS4.
Yeah.
Eventually, that thing's going to fill up. In the PS5 case, it filled up pretty quick. in terms of stuff I was putting on there, especially with Where Winds Meet. I think that's 100, over 100 plus gigs on that game alone. So
I make a stinky face because it's like, man, I hate that it's that. That's I mean, I know that's where we're going with a lot of games.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we used to. I mean, obviously, I say we used to. Back in my day,
Yeah, put a Sepia tone on the video.
I know, to be like, yeah, back in the day, man, when your game was hitting 50 gigs, we were like, this is a big game.
Mm-hmm.
That's 50 gigs. I remember Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 was like 80.
What was Crysis 2 like?
Well, I don't know about the size on Crysis 2. Crysis has always just been one of those, like, you know, supercomputers can't run it.
Yeah,
because it's all completely that was the joke with Crysis. Yeah,
the joke was you had to only folks at NASA could play this game with their supercomputers because no one else could.
The size of games, you know, like when Force Unleashed 2, and I don't remember the year on this one. Back in the 03s, 5s maybe? No, we were still doing the show at the time, so it probably was back in the 2010s. Perhaps. I know you're Googling it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm waiting.
2010.
Hey, I got the 10s!
Yeah.
I got the 010 right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I threw out enough numbers, I was bound to hit something, right?
Yeah, late October, 2010.
Yeah. So, yeah, the 010s, when that came out, I think it was like 80, 90 gigs, something like that. It was massive. And for that time, we were just like, wow, this game's so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge game, you know? Now it's like 80s coming in average, you know? I know Red Dead 2 was like 80 on install type thing, but it had more that it added to it when you had more stuff to put on it. So, yeah, I mean, it was a big deal when the games were that kind of size. So anytime, you know, you're like, oh, it's 100 gigs for this. And I was like, man, ugh. Because it's like it's just eating up space. And just, you know, which is going to do. That's how it happens.
But, that's the reason I got the external drive, the 8 terabit one. I would go bigger, but I don't think it can, I don't think the PS5 would allow you to go bigger than 8 terabits on an external drive. I could be wrong, but if that's the case, I'm pretty sure I've got enough to last me for a while. At least I hope so. But, I think it's the same way with my PS4. You just run down the list of everything that's on there, and you check how much is in the store, how much storage space you got left, and you look at the list of all the games you got, and I see the gigs there, and I arrange it by size, and, you know, 110, 90, 80, things like that. And then there's a real big drop-off to, like, 50 to 40, and it's, like, pretty good titles that I've liked that weren't that big. So it's not about you don't have to be huge to be a really good game. I mean, heck, how much fun did we have playing Pac-Man Championship Edition?
I know, that's really... That thing, right? I bought a lot of small games over the holidays, and I'm absolutely enjoying those, so...
Which is probably part of the allure right about now. How size of the game, how much it takes up on your thing. We have to not have to have the hassle of taking it off your system back and forth to enjoy it.
Man, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Having those titles and increasing the backlog, basically, this holiday season.
Yeah, no kidding. Which I did absolutely do. So I got sick over the Christmas holidays. Like, we did our show Saturday, and then Sunday I was fine. Monday was okay, I think. And then I think it was Tuesday when I woke up with, like, a sore throat. And I was like, uh-oh, and I did work here, and then we were off for the rest of the week. We were off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And we weren't doing a show, obviously, on that week either. So the next day, which was Wednesday, that would have been Christmas Eve. Yeah, the next day I woke up. That night I went to bed with, like, a fever. Mm-hmm. Tuesday night I went to bed with a fever. Wednesday, Christmas Eve, I woke up and... I was okay at times, but also fever would come back and that sort of thing. And we had, like, I'd drive out of town to do Christmas stuff on Christmas Eve, and baby was there, and I was like, I can't go, I can't do that. So, I mean, I stayed home. I was also taking care of some dogs, but that didn't matter.
Yeah.
I stayed home the entire time. I didn't see family, I didn't do anything. I also didn't game, and it really sucked because I really felt, I hated it because it was like, man, I could put in some time on some games right now, right?
Yeah.
I could do it, but I did not have it in me to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept up with my snap, did some of the words that I, you know, word game that I do and that sort of thing, but I just had nothing in me to sit down and like play anything.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what I would have played or what I was thinking about playing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have it was just
couldn't focus.
Right. I was still getting up and taking care of work. Like I still had to get up and do work stuff
mm-hmm.
from time to time. But once I had that done, it was right back to bed. Mm-hmm. Not to go to sleep, but just to lay down and watch television or something. I just didn't feel like concentrating on a game at all.
You didn't start doping up when you started feeling a tingle of a sore throat or a little
sickness? I did, but it didn't do anything.
Didn't do it? Okay.
So I just kept, you know, I kept up, you know, I kept drinking the junk, which is mm-hmm. Alka-Seltzer cold,
mm-hmm.
Or the generic brand. Doesn't matter. It's, I don't like it. But I drink it anyway because it's supposed to help me. And, you know, it would make me sleepy or whatever. And it was just, yeah, that was it. So I got sick. I couldn't play. And it sucked. It did, because I really wanted to, like, not necessarily knock out my back. You know my backlog.
I got a backlog, too. I know. Yeah.
There's no miracle that exists that would ever get me to knock out my backlog. It's just too much, which is fine. I don't mind. It means I got lots of options whenever I want to play. But even then, it was just like, I ain't feeling it. And so I didn't. So let's see. I picked up a bunch of stuff. I have played, and I will say this, I've played more Spider-Man on the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. Played more of that. I don't know how far into it I am, but if I'm going by the skill trees that I've been unlocking on my characters, I'm getting pretty close to filling those out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any more upgrade paths to go, or I'm getting close.
You're maxed out. Close to being maxed out, yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily tell you anything in the style that I play, which is do a lot of side stuff and a lot of things that aren't even side stuff. They're just regular little things you can do in between missions and stuff that pop up, street crime, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I do a lot of that stuff. I'll just be swinging through the city and it's like, hey, there's a chase or there's a break in or there's something like that. And I'll just go do that instead of doing the main mission that I should be doing or any of the side missions. So I did a lot of that. I leveled myself up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not necessarily sure that I am getting close to the end or not. I don't know. I don't know how that all works. But anyway, Spider-Man I've played. Well, I picked up a lot of games on Steam. And I'm wondering if my phone or if the website is going to give me a better idea. See, a smart person, folks, of which I am not, would have queued this up already, knowing that we're going to be talking about the holidays. But nope, not me. I didn't do that.
We'll get it one day.
We're going to go to the account details, the account details, and we're going to look at purchase history. Purchase history. Problem with purchase history is it doesn't show you the games that I got with like buying it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and then if I bought it from a key shop and I put the activation code into Steam and activate it, that doesn't show up in my purchase history.
So according to Steam, if you ain't buy it from us, it doesn't count,
right? So let me go down what I've done. December 12th, we were here for that. I bought Mega Man 11, but that was whatever. I got Sophia the Traveler. That's a little, like, hidden object type game that looks really fun.
Okay.
I'm not normally into those, but I have been... There's been a game on my wish list from 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
that I got to demo, and it was a hidden object type game. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I can't remember, but it's coming out pretty soon here, finally.
Mm.
And I was just like, when is this thing going to release? When is it going to release? And so I saw this one come up, and it was cheap. And so I was just like, oh, that looks cool. I picked up Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow. I know. I've already played it. I've got it on. I've got a boxed copy,
mm-hmm.
so that tells you how old this is.
Yeah.
But I have a boxed copy of this game, and it was like $2. It's like, okay, you know?
That's our double dipping, basically. If it's a title that you've played over a decade ago, but you have to go through a lot to get the thing to play again, but you see it available on Steam or PC or on the current consoles, that's where you double dip and pick up. And usually something like that is maybe like, what, $2 to $7?
This was two. Well, it was on sale, so it was two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look to see if I can find my library. Will it give me my library. I forget. It only shows me... That doesn't show it right. Maybe the desktop will. Anyway, what else I got? I have Splinter Cell Pandora tomorrow. I got something called Lossless Scaling. Now, the guys in the chat room might know what this is. It's not a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's an optimization tool.
Okay.
That you can run with a game to help frame rate, I think.
Maybe like DS Fix?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it's a
broader scale.
Kind of something like that. Like, you can find that on the Steam store. It's called Lossless Scaling. People say it works great with the Steam Deck, the handheld, and it also works great on your desktop as well. I have not even tried it yet because some of the games I'm playing do not need that. You know, these are very small little whatever type games.
Mm-hmm.
I got a game called Pizza Tower, which I've talked about. Mm-hmm. It's a platformy type game. Haven't played it yet.
Okay. But I was about to say, it sounded like some like cookie clicker for a second.
No. It's not an idler type game. I picked up a game called UFO 50. Released, I don't know how many years ago, and by the way, all the songs in today's show that we run in and out of commercial breaks come from UFO 50. Mm-hmm. UFO 50 is a collection of original titles, 50 of them, hence the name, that start in like 1982, you know? In other words, this is an original game. They built a game that was like, hey, how did games play in 1982? Let's build a game sort of based on the titles that might have been available in 82.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's build a game that's based on something that might have been made in 1984 or 3. You know, it would just... So there's like 50 of them, and they're all like really kind of old school type games. Nothing that you've ever heard of, but they represent a year in... I say a year because you don't get 50 years, but they represent a game that would have been made in a year like that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a connection between all 50 of them. And they're all original. They're not something where it's like, oh, we're going to put Pac-Man in here or Dig Dug or something like that.
Right.
It's all original titles that are in there. And there's 50 of them, which I'm like, that's 50 games for like $15. That's great. Have I played it? Nope. But it's what it is. I have actually played a couple of games on it. But there's more, because there's 50 of them, and I really haven't gone through all 50 to see what's on offer there.
Mm-hmm.
I also bought a game called Slots and Daggers. That is a roguelike type game, where it's very much a Balatro, very much a Clover Pit type game where you've got modifiers for a slot machine type stuff, and you can get prizes, or you can modify how the bonuses and multipliers and things like that work.
Right.
So Slots and Daggers I picked up, and I also got a game called The Root Trees Are Dead. It's a detective game. It's a detective game. It's a murder mystery type game. You get some information about this family that's been murdered, and use the internet to kind of, you know, internet sleuth it sort of thing and figure it out. So I'm interested in that one as well. And then I got two games that I'm going to talk about, and I got more, but I need to figure out how I can find those. This says, no, inventory won't be what I need. And store won't be what I need either. Ooh, activity. Can I see my activity? That might help. Hang on.
I guess the price went up on UFO 50.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
At $25 now.
Yeah, no, this was during the Steam winter sale.
Yeah.
Really
good ratings, though. 10 out of 10 on Steam, and Metacritic gave it a 91%.
My Steam. Let me see if I can find my Steam library. I'm trying to. Is there any? I'm really trying to find a way that I can find the library. It doesn't. The app doesn't show me what I need. The website absolutely doesn't show me what I need. And none of this is really showing me what I need either. I hate this because I'm really trying to figure out what it is that I've got, and maybe I'll sign into this site with Steam and come back and tell you more about it, because we're getting to the bottom of the hour here. Let me tell you about the other two games that I got. They're very minimalist type games.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Proverbs.
Okay.
This was a game that. Drawing a blank on him now. He used to call in a lot about some indie titles. His screen name was Spigot, and I'm trying to remember his name. I'm so sorry. I know that you might listen later on, Spigot. I've totally drawn a blank on your actual name. But I apologize. He does a lot of these indie titles, and Proverbs was one that he like recommended to me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I looked at it, and it was like $3, and I'm like, sure, $3, I'll try it out. So Proverbs is a massive game of Minesweeper. And I really can't stress enough, like, when I use the word massive, what I really mean. I mean massive. Massive game of Minesweeper. It's not necessarily a game where you will fail. In other words, you know, Minesweeper is you land on a bomb, everything gets reset. You have to restart. Yeah. That's not the way this works. It still works the way that Minesweeper does, though. You have tiles that have numbers, and that tells you how many squares within that grid are a certain color. And you have to figure out which of those squares in that grid are that color, and then so you turn those on, and then the other squares in the grid that aren't, you turn those off. And as you do different sections, you reveal a painting. I say a painting, mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is, and it's called Proverbs, and it's based on a piece of art. And I'm going to try Proverbs game.
Okay.
Proverbs puzzle. Let's see.
Proverbs is a pit cross Minesweeper hybrid, featuring a single enormous puzzle.
Enormous is in all caps. It's very huge.
Inspired by Bruegel the Elder's 1559 painting, Netherlandish Proverbs.
Netherlandish Proverbs, yes.
Yeah.
So it is a painting from 1559. And the more you fill in these sections, the more that painting gets revealed. I mean, I can go look at the painting right now if I wanted to. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that it's spoiling me on what the end result is. It's just a really nice, relaxing sort of, let me click on some squares for a while and figure things out if I want to with the number system and stuff. Really kind of cool. The other game that I got, and this one's a little bit harder to describe. It's going to be real hard to describe. It's a game called Strange Jigsaws.
Mm-hmm.
When we did our best of 2025 list not too long ago, one of the last shows that we did, Strange Jigsaws was in there. And I was like, what is this? This is really kind of cool. I'm really interested in this. I didn't know something like this existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it. I added it to my cart. It's like $3 again. I picked it up, and I really fell in love with it. I really did, like from the get-go. It doesn't tell you much, just gives you stuff, and you can mess around with it, and you can figure out, like, this has to go here. This connects to this. Once you solve an odd type of jigsaw type puzzle, I don't want to say, it's not necessarily giving you a picture with jigsaw pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. There's a puzzle that tells you, there's a puzzle that gives you a grid, and you have a certain amount of blocks of ice and certain blocks on the grid that are on fire. And you have to arrange the ice over the fire to put them out, right?
Right.
You'll find that you can't do that with what is on offer. The amount of blocks they give you to put out the amount of fires can't be organized in such a way that every fire gets covered. And I must have spent 30, 45 minutes like, it can't go here, it has to go here, it has to do this, it has to do this. And I'm about to spoil it for you. It's very early on in the game, but I'm about to spoil it for you. At the top of that same puzzle is a use ice blocks, and it shows you a picture of an ice block, to put out fires. Shows a picture of fire. That ice block that it gives you can be moved. It's in the example to show you that this is what they look like, but that is actually a piece of the puzzle. I didn't realize this. Mm-hmm. Took me a minute to figure this out. Once I could figure that out, I started thinking outside the box with it, and I was able to rearrange it, and like, oh, there's the solution. Love that. Mm-hmm. There was one that, once you solved the puzzle, you could then zoom into the puzzle. And as you zoomed into the puzzle, it's like you went through a doorway and there was more puzzles for you to put together. And when you put those together, you could then zoom in further and more to put together and more and more. Just, I loved it. I absolutely fell in love with it. Hmm. Just because I was just like, this is fantastic. This is exactly, this hit the right, you know, whatever in my little brain function.
Sounded like a little nice little stage transition when you saw the puzzle.
But there's tons of different puzzles.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, seemingly difficult at first. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of it, is, like, I think there's a solution here that is like, buried in something obvious, which I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like, and it also sounds like it doesn't hold your hand.
It absolutely does not hold your hand,
yeah,
by the way. That's something else I wanted to get to.
They don't tell
you anything.
Which is better, yeah.
They tell you nothing, and you can figure it out. They also don't give you really any hints, but you could also, I mean, it's the internet. You can go online and figure it out.
You can figure it out that way, yeah. But it's that balance between holding your hand and making it too easy, or are the puzzles so difficult and we don't tell you anything, it gets frustrating and you quit the game altogether.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
There's the aspect. It's like I saw some reviews like critiquing it, saying like this is a poorly built game because it does this, and I was like, I'm okay with them feeling that way, but I don't share in that sentiment yet. Mm-hmm. I'm very early on. I don't know how much further this goes, but I just like the creativeness of it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of everything else that I picked up that I didn't buy through Steam. I bought through key codes on other stores. Legit stores, by the way. I want to make clear that these were not the... they were key sellers, but they were legit key sellers. There's one called the Seance of... Is it Blake Manor, I believe? Hmm. That is also kind of a murder mystery type game. Hmm. You have to figure out who did what or who the killer is or something like that. It's, again, more like, you know... brain-solvy things.
Yeah. Set in 1897 Ireland?
I guess.
Yeah. It's the Seance of Blake Manor.
Yeah. Oh, look at there. I remembered. Hey, that's pretty good at this point, having a memory to remember that.
Yeah, supernatural detective mystery set in 1897 Ireland, where you investigate the disappearance of Evelyn Dean in a remote hotel full of secrets and otherworldly occurrences.
Okay. Yeah. I picked up Neva, which is the next game from the folks that did Gree.
Okay.
Gree, by the way, was a beautiful game.
So artsy title?
I would say artsy, but it was platformer, but Gree was just really one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. Hmm. One of the absolute most beautiful games that I've ever played. Not necessarily in the game mechanics, but the game mechanics were really kind of cool. They were nice. Nothing that was like out of the ordinary, but sufficient. But the art style was beautiful. The music and the way things flowed and moved in the game was just, it was art, you know? Mm. And so when they announced their next game, which was Neva, and this has been a few years that they announced it, I was like, it's a wish list, like right now. Automatically put it in there.
Yeah,
and I finally picked it up.
Yeah, so I was looking up Gree. Came out mid-December of 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only finished that like in 2022 or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fell in love with it. And then Neva, I think, was released in 23 maybe or 24.
Let's see. Yeah. October of 2024.
Yeah. 2024 is when Neva came out, and I finally picked it up. Mm-hmm. Christmas of 25. So And the other game I picked up was something called, oh, I'm going to screw it up here, Absalom. Is that right? Okay. Is it Absalom, I think? Yeah.
Absalom.
Yes. It is Dotemu. Is that right? Or how do you pronounce them?
Dotemu or Dotemu.
Yeah, Dotemu or Dotemu. The developers on that, and Guard Crush. It is a beat-em-up gameplay with art. The art style, the animation style is really, really good. It's got a nice review on Steam, and I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Oh, look at there. Gareth Coker is the composer.
Hmm.
I had no idea. We've had Gareth on the show.
Yeah, we did.
He's the composer for the game. I absolutely now need to play that. But yeah, there may be some others that I'm leaving out, but I think that is it. I think that's all that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Still trying to think. Yeah, I think that's all that I bought. So, anyway, that's what I've been playing. And if I've left some out, that's because, you know, my memory focuses more on video game names than it does on what I've been playing, I suppose. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will, I don't know, we'll jump into some stuff, some news, whatever. Maybe I'll read some of the chat room there, because I haven't been reading some of the chat room. There's not necessarily a whole lot to kind of talk about. There's a lot of AI that's going on that we can talk about. There's some free games that we're getting this month. PC building is still depressing at the moment, and it's only getting worse.
Yeah, a lot of stick with what you got.
Stick with what you got, or buy it now, because it's only going to get worse. Like, if I had bought... So RAM was bad in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I bought it in December, I'd be paying less than what I'm going to be paying this month or next month or any further month that comes ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It still would have been overpriced back then, but it's only going to get more so as time goes on.
I think I've heard folks talk about how it's the DDR5s that are really jumping up in price.
It is, but that's the problem.
DDR4.
Right. Well, that's the problem, though. 4 is great if your motherboard accepts 4. Right?
That will.
Which mine does.
Yeah.
But I don't need to. I got 64 gigs of DDR4 memory. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to increase my memory.
Yeah.
But my motherboard is like the CPU that I have in my motherboard right now is the last line of that socket. It doesn't go any further, which means if I get a new CPU, I got to get a new motherboard, which means I got to get new memory.
Stick with what you got.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm doing.
Run it till it turns into dust.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I can't. That's my problem, though. I can't advance without doing a complete overhaul of most of my system.
Yeah.
Motherboard, CPU, memory.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because of the memory.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to go to break here. You're not going to recognize any of these songs unless you've been playing UFO 50. They all are very kind of in a classic thing. I should have wrote down a year of when these games represent, but maybe you can guess by some of the way the music sounds. This one is called, it's from a game called Warp Tank, and the title is called Red. I don't know what any of that means, but it's in the game UFO 50. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is a game called Paint Chase. I don't know, right? Take it at face value, you're chasing paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just music that plays during the gameplay. And obviously it's not very long either. Like 48 seconds. There you go. We're back. Boom. You know, RJ pointed something out to me just a few minutes ago, and I did not... I didn't see... Zufu had said that he hadn't been... I guess I missed that whole thing. Where he said he hadn't been in here in 5 years. Welcome back. Things have changed a little bit. Somewhat. But AC Wraith kind of handled the answer there. The rest of the old cast occasionally visits, and some of the old callers sometimes ring in. Matt was here for the Christmas show, mm-hmm. when because you were gone.
Yeah.
So Matt was here for our last show of the year for 2025. And Matt occasionally pops in every now and again. And he, which, I mean, he's welcome anytime he wants to, but he occasionally pops in every now and again. James hasn't been on the show in a while. I actually haven't talked to James in a while. Not that we had a falling out. It's just one of those things where it's like, just people go off and have a life, and mm-hmm. you just, you know, you lose touch. However, it never fails that every time I sign into my Ubisoft account, which that's another game I meant to tell you, every time I sign into my Ubisoft account, he's there playing The Division 2.
Hmm.
It says that he's playing The Division 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, seriously, every time I log in, he's playing Division 2. Unless, of course, somebody else got his name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do, is just play The Division 2. I have no idea. I could reach out, you know, I've thought about it, and I thought about it for the Christmas show. I was like, I could reach out to him, see if he'd just... He could pop into Discord. He didn't have to come to the studio if he didn't want to. I don't even know if he's still in town. I have no idea. There was a moment there where he was moving, and then that seemed to have not happened, and I don't know. I haven't talked to him in forever. But wouldn't mind talking to him and getting him back on the show for a bit to just chat, see what he's been up to.
Yeah.
See what he's playing, see what he's doing. Sorry, I'm getting some stuff out of my... so yeah, no, James hasn't popped in. Haven't heard from Chris in ages. Used to be in the Discord, used to listen to the show, used to call, that sort of thing. It's been forever. So yeah. What else do we have? So, you're exactly right. Let's see. Swinging Around is so well done. I guess you're talking about the, Spider-Man game. Lethal Migraine picked up the MLB The Show, the deluxe edition of the Harry Potter game is only $15. So I traded in some points. What I wanted to talk about was Ubisoft was having a sale, and there were two games I was looking at there. I was looking at Star Wars Outlaws.
Okay.
It was like $11 with their coupon code thing. And I'm like, eh, that's not bad. Open world Star Wars game, $11. Probably give me a good value on that. And then there was Assassin's Creed Shadows, which came in at like $25 with their code. And I was like, yeah, maybe, you know? I was going to go in for both, but it was like $40. And I was like, I don't know, because I'd already spent like $40 on Steam and a couple other ways that I'd, you know, spent the money with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yeah, I don't know. So I ended up not getting Shadows, but I did get Star Wars Outlaws. 2 days later, after I'd pulled the trigger on this, because I bought it sometime earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days later, it was announced that Star Wars Outlaws was coming to Game Pass.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had not installed the game.
Right.
So I went through Ubisoft's refund policy, which is you've got 14 days from the day you buy it to return it, or 2 hours after you play it.
Okay.
Or 2 hours of playtime or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is.
Don't exceed 2 hours of playtime when you try to return the game.
Right. Okay. Then you can return it within the 14-day time limit or something like that. Right. So I was good, and so I did a refund through them, mm-hmm. and got my $12 and some change back because it was going to be on Game Pass, which I already subscribed to Game Pass, which means I can play it there anyway on PC,
right.
And I would be fine. So, yeah, I did that. And... that was that. And I was telling you about another game, Horizon Forbidden West.
Forbidden West, yeah.
So randomly, I got a gift certificate to Best Buy for like $10,
mm-hmm.
and it expired on the 4th of January. And so I was just like, ah, I need to make sure I go in and claim that, right? I need to make sure I use that. I went on to Best Buy, and there were like, I could get a PlayStation Store credit of $10 if I wanted to do that. I could not buy a Steam card. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't buy credit on Steam with my gift certificate at Best Buy.
Right.
Oddly enough, though, I could buy money for the PlayStation Store that way, but not with Steam. And I was just like, meh. Kind of, meh. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Horizon Forbidden West. That's the brand new. There's the sequel. I say brand new. It's been out for years, but it was the sequel.
Latest, the latest in the thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was the sequel. I own the first one on PC, mm-hmm. the enhanced edition or whatever, and here's the sequel, and it was like $36, $35.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a $10 certificate, plus I had another $10 certificate I could issue from just rewards points from buying at Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
So there I go, $20 off of this $36 game. And, you know, you're looking at, like, what, $16 to pay for it now?
Yeah.
Then I had, like, almost $10 in some PayPal credit. So when I went to buy through PayPal in Best Buy, took off another, like, $10, you know? I ended mm-hmm. up paying, like, $8 for this game out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do. I look for deals.
Yeah.
I try and pay the least amount of money I can to get the most that I can from it.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes that I'm just stupid with my money and don't do any of this. And I buy it full price.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was like what we've been doing lately. Like we talked about a few shows ago about how we're not in a rush to get it day one. You want to just bide your time and wait. Because you got a backlog you can go through until the price eventually drops. I mean,
I used to have to talk myself off that cliff
mm-hmm.
of like, hey, it's day one, don't buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have to talk myself off. I just look at my account and it's like, I can't buy this. It's like, no, I cannot buy this. I need to wait for a sale.
Yeah.
Wait for a deal, wait for a sale, wait for something to come my way and do it that way. So,
I mean, it's like, yeah, see, is it a game that's worth a full price for you? Basically looking at it that way. A lot of games were like that, you know, back in the day. But nowadays, it's just better, in my opinion, just to hold off and wait. You don't have to be day one. Just see how it hits first.
You don't have to be day one, but if there's games like... Now, some of the games that you... Not the games that you play, but a game you did play, and a game we just mentioned, Division.
Division, mm-hmm.
Ark Raiders, Helldivers.
Mm-hmm.
These multiplayer-type games that really, at the beginning, are loaded with people playing them.
Mm-hmm.
And really have their moments at that time. And like Helldivers 2, I wanted to jump in immediately when it was done, but I just couldn't do it. Pricing and not sure what was going on. Plus, I had gotten banned from Destiny, and I was like, I don't know if I want to get back into this sort of thing again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's only 3 players. Are my guys doing it? Is it fun to play with friends? And are any of my friends playing it? Are they on Discord? We can talk and chat and go through the whole thing. And the longer I waited, the sort of the more that hype kind of died down, and then something else picked it up, right?
Mm.
Ark Raiders being one of them. And now Ark Raiders is the thing. And I was very close to pulling the trigger on Ark Raiders. I was reading through some of the reviews, and I came to one review, and I for those of you who listen to this later or listening to it now and are like, why would you pay attention to the review? There was one specific review said that, you know, when this game released, this was great, but it's been ever how long it's been now, and here's an example of what I commonly see now, and it was more griefing than it was anything else. I say griefing, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like, GTA Online, I know what griefing is.
Yeah. Like, but it had moved from being, like, really player-friendly to where you could run into somebody out in the wild, and they're not gonna screw you over and take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna let you pass or let you go through or whatever. It's just mm-hmm. gonna be very... peaceful. mm-hmm. You're doing your thing, they're doing their thing, nobody wants any trouble, we're just going to go about our ways and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to be the case anymore, according to that specific review.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of made me hesitate. It's like, man, I don't want to work for something and then, not get the rewards for the amount of time I put into it because there's a player who's going to,
yeah.
take me out.
Yeah, well, Well, the comparison I've had is still GTA Online, but there are ways to get around griefing. You know, you could play with friends or play in a solo lobby.
Well, yeah.
Invite-only lobby. There are ways around it.
That's the other thing is for me to find friends. Are my friends playing? Is my Destiny group playing this? Some of them are, but it's not like what it was for Destiny, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Or Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Elden Ring, things like that. Playing in a solo lobby or making, I think it was Dark Souls where you could like be play as a hollow and you won't get invaded. The only time you got invaded is when you were fully restored human with an ember. Then you got invaded by people coming in trying to take all your currency, right? But if you played hollow the entire way through, you'd have less health, but you wouldn't get invaded by anyone. The only thing you had to worry about was the enemies in the game. So there are ways around it. But yeah, there are games like that. The multiplayer aspect, you're going to have griefing. You're going to have griefing in there. And there's benefits to griefing, but there are ways to get around it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, that reviewer must have had a particularly bad experience. Because I've had days like that.
Yeah, I know.
I've had days like that where I couldn't get anything done.
I know that I can't necessarily take that review and say that this is the way it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was enough for me to think, okay, $30 right now to possibly flip the coin on this.
Yeah, second thoughts. Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Whereas I could find a bunch of smaller titles. I mean, I've got a bunch on my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of smaller titles. And, you know, I can pay the 30-some-odd bucks for this one game, or I can pay the 30-some-odd bucks and get, well, what I picked up. The Root Trees Are Dead and whatever that other one was that I said. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the other games that I eventually went mm-hmm. and picked up. So, yeah, it's just, you know, or not spend the money at all. You know, there's also that option to where you don't. But what kind of ridiculous plan is that, right? Mm-hmm. These games are on sale. If I don't get them now, I'll never get them.
Yeah, sometimes
that's sarcasm, by the way, for those wondering. That's absolute sarcasm.
And some of these titles go on sale quick.
Some of them go on sale for cheaper than what they were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the example. Somebody had mentioned it where it's like, I just bought this for whatever price, and now it's this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was cheaper than what it was during the sale.
Yeah.
So yeah, you run into that. We're going to take a break because we're now at the top of the hour, and we need to. Plus, we'll come back and get in some news. I don't know what we'll look at here. We got free games for PlayStation Plus this month. We'll talk about those. We do have some best of lists, and I have no problem going over these. We have the 15 best under-the-radar indie games of 2025. We have the best of 2025 from movies to games and more. We'll see about that one. We also have the worst games of 2025, according to Metacritic. So there are those. Real quick, the James Bond game got a little delay. Small, slight delay. First Light, they got a delay.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Like a month, maybe a couple of weeks or something. It's not a long one, but it got delayed. What else do we have? Oh, Red Dead 2. There's a new thing that has been discovered in Red Dead 2. After 7 years, somebody has found a new mystery in that game that they're trying to solve. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about, and we're going to go over that as much as we can for the amount of time that we've got, but not if I don't shut up and move on. Here is music from another UFO 50 game that is called Magic Garden, and this is just gameplay music that plays for that particular game. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. God, it's loud. Thank you. Welcome back in to In-Game Jet. So real quick on some of the news that we had over the past 2 weeks or so, Valve has discontinued the LCD version of the Steam Deck, which is what probably the majority of people have. The OLED version has only been out for maybe a year or so, and they were being sold concurrently. You could buy either one if you wanted, LCD being cheaper than the OLED. But now they're discontinuing the OLED, the LCD, so the OLED's the only one that you're going to be able to buy. Which means you've got a collector's item if you have the LCD version.
Coming soon to eBay.
So yeah, there's that. Let's see, we have the best this is from Polygon, and they decided to do the best of 2025 in everything. The best of... Jesus. Okay, never mind. I'm not doing any of these. It's too much. It's absolutely too... The 50 best games of 2025. The 10 best horror TV shows, horror movies, the best science fiction fantasy stuff, blah, 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 blah. Then they've got one that says, the game environments of 2025 we love so much. And all these other things. It's like, nope, not doing it. Mm. Not gonna go through all that. So, skipping you, which I should have done from the beginning. Let's do the 15 under-the-radar games you may have missed in 2025. Game called Angeline Era. Feels like a long-lost PS1 game, but not in the way that you're thinking. It's blocky overworld. Looks like it was pulled right from Final Fantasy VII, but it plays nothing like it looks, trading in RPG battles for bump-slash-combat that has you tactically bumping into enemies to auto-attack them. Interesting. Game called Battle Train, which looks like it's a deck-building roguelike type thing. Which is interesting. Bionic Bay. Ooh. Gives me Limbo vibes, yeah. At first, Bionic Bay is about scaling ledges and jumping across chasms. Then you unlock the ability to switch places with many of the objects you come across. Suddenly, you have to start thinking. With the right timing, could this box protect me from that laser? Can I drop a barrel off a ledge and swap with it to jump higher? What happens if I switch places with a bomb? And that's just one example of what Bionic Bay's example of Bionic Bay's abilities, with each one opening a new range of gymnastics, both mental and physical. Interesting.
So Limbo with parkour.
Kind of, yeah. Blade Chimera. It's an excellent throwback that wears its Castlevania inspiration proudly on its sleeve. Armed with a magical demon sword, players slash through dense pixel art environments in an action RPG that gives you plenty of space to craft your perfect playstyle. Guns, sword, whips, and spells give you plenty to work with in a terrific Metroidvania that's heavy on the vania. If you're looking for some straightforward action delivered through crunchy pixels, let Blade Chimera be your next backlog assignment. That sounds fun. Ender Magnolia, Bloom in the Mist, which is also seemingly another Metroidvania type game. Kaizen, A Factory Story? No game this year made me feel smarter than Kaizen, A Factory Story. In this creative puzzle game set during the rise of Japan's mass production age, players are tasked with creating efficient assembly lines in order to create products as cheaply as possible. That's accomplished by placing down gadgets and programming actions that will let machines cut, flip, and weld parts together. There's no one right solution. Each puzzle is a test of your engineering ingenuity that opens the door for a wealth of eureka moments that had me thinking about assembly line tricks I could build all day long. The hook fuels a nuanced story about the benefits of mass production, but what we lose when we trade in human hands for mechanical ones. A game called Metal Eden, which gives Titanfall vibes, which is always good. Ah, The Midnight Walk. That is not one that has gone unnoticed by me. It's VR, and it doesn't have to be VR, but it's VR. Maybe it doesn't have to be VR. I don't know.
Very Burton-esque looking.
I know.
Game
it's
there.
Really nice.
If you only have time for one game, don't sleep on The Midnight Walk. The moody stop-motion adventure puts you in the middle of a Tim Burton movie filled with whimsical little weirdos and creepy monsters that will haunt your dreams. With one of the year's best original scores and a great fairy tale story, it is a can't-miss experience. And if you don't have a VR headset, the standard console version will get its strengths across just fine. Well, that's nice to know. Rift of the Necrodancer, which is a sequel to... it's a rhythm game.
Was it Crypt of the Necrodancer?
I think so. I think you're right. Ah, the Seance of Blake Manor got on this list.
Yep.
So, yeah. Skate Story is on the list. I've been interested in that, but sort of not. I'm not sure about Skate Story. It's a skateboard type thing, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. Squeak Ross, Home Squeak Home. You're not just solving... You're not just solving grids using number cues, clues in order to draw a picture. The pictures you draw are pieces of furniture in a magazine. Once a puzzle has been cleared, you can place that object in your rat avatar's house and decorate to your heart's content. Yes, somebody put Animal Crossing in a Picross game, and it's fantastic. If decorating isn't so much your thing, at least come for the rodent facts that get emailed to your in-game PC from time to time. Then there's a game called Time Flies. It captures an existential crisis in a jar. The unique life sim gives players a simple task. Complete your bucket list before you die. Easy enough, except for the fact that you're playing as a simple housefly who won't survive longer than 2 minutes. That time varies as the fly's time mirrors the life expectancy rate of whichever home country you've selected. As depressing as that premise may sound, Time Flies is full of light, and not just the kinds that will zap your insect friend dead. It's a slapstick celebration of life that teaches us to enjoy life to the fullest, not letting any precious second go to waste. You never know how much time you have left until the end, so why not check something off your bucket list today? Wheel World is a game that I played. It's a cycling-type game, and I've played that before. I kind of liked it. It was on Game Pass. I enjoyed it. Wizard of Legend 2 is another one, and that's the list there for you. Not bad on some of those recommendations.
Wheel World, is that like a chill game? Just ride your bike around and see the sights?
It is a chill game, but you can also participate in like races and stuff like that if you want to. It's also about unlocking areas. Like there is a gameplay mechanic, a story mechanic type thing where if you win a race, you sort of unlock more of this, or when you... I don't know. It's... But that's all you do. You traverse on the bike. That is it.
Yeah, I think of a game like Descenders. I think I got that free on PlayStation Plus, but yeah, it was a pretty good little bike sim, things like that. But every time I look at a bike, I think about Paperboy.
Yeah.
And implementing that aspect into a 3D setting. It'd be really nice.
Now we have the 10 worst games of 2025, according to Metacritic. Number 10, Nintendo Switch 2 Welcome Tour. Yeah, I would agree with you. You buy a brand new console for $450 or ever how much it costs, and this nice little thing that shows you, like, here's how the Joy-Cons work, and here's how your machine, you know, it should be a pack-in type title, right? Nope, it's $10 on the store if you want it. Kind of annoying.
Yeah, back in my day when you had that free pack-in game, yeah, that was quality. Nowadays, not so much.
Number 9 is a game called Ren Sport. It is a it's a racing title. Looks very simish, like it's, you know, simulating real racing type stuff.
Gran Turismo type thing.
Yeah, it's giving me that. Bubsy, which I guess this is a collection of the old Bubsy titles. Hunter x Hunter, Nin x Impact.
Impact.
I don't know what this is.
Anime game.
It says when you see a title that looks like an algebra equation, it's a reliable sign that you're pretty deep down the weeb game rabbit hole. Oh, Neptunia Riders versus Dagoos. Woof. This is a motorcycle action game where you collect legally distinct Dragon Quest slimes with cute dog faces. It's based on the Hyperdimension Neptunia RPG series, which features candy-haired girls inspired by retro game consoles, and sounds like it would give me a headache. Yeah, not really interested in that one.
I don't see a motorcycle in this picture at all.
Which one are you talking about?
You said Neptunia Riders.
Oh, yeah.
Motorcycle action game. I don't see a motorcycle in this picture that they give me, so yeah, go figure.
Captain Blood. It looks like a throwback from 20 years ago. There's a good reason for that. It was initially in development during the mid-2000s for Xbox and then later Xbox 360. After nearly two decades of development hell and legal battles, the lost game was revived by a small publisher, and I guess they got around to releasing it. Number four, Scarlet Salvation, a Returnal-inspired third-person shooter. Number three, Ambulance Life, a paramedic simulator. Yeah, I'm pretty good about skipping that one as well. Tamagotchi Plaza, which involves those Tamagotchis, those little digital pet things. I don't know if you remember those from way back when.
The ones that caused car crashes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the number one worst game of 2025 ends up being Mind's Eye. With Grand Theft Auto... So, Mind's Eye, the debut game from ex-rock star bigwig Leslie Benzie's new studio, Build a Rocket Boy. A catastrophic flop right out of the gate. Lousy combat, dull plotting, horrendous face-melting glitches, and underwhelming missions left critics scratching their heads and wondering what went wrong. In a scathing one-star review, Eurogamer called it a cataclysmic failure, pointing out that there are action games 10, even 20 years older than Mind's Eye that are infinitely better to play. Max Payne 3, which is 13 years old and the weakest Max Payne game, is a masterpiece compared to this. So, yeah.
It's the last one I played, actually.
Max Payne 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the last Max Payne I played also.
Yeah.
Because that's the last Max Payne that they ever made.
Yeah. Well, you never went back and played the...
Gone back to play the first ones. No.
Yeah.
No. And I'll tell you why. I played the...
Blank.
Out of the first one.
Yeah.
I built a PC to play the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I built a PC. The first PC I ever built was to play Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just to play Max Payne, but to play Max Payne with mods. Because they did all these different Matrix mods and things you could do with it because of the bullet time and everything else.
Yeah.
It was like, that's what I want to do, so I built a machine that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me down this hole of playing PC titles and building PCs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I played enough of Max Payne 1. Max Payne 2 is really good as well,
mm-hmm.
but it's rarely talked about, but it was a wonderful, like, just as good a noir story as the first Max Payne.
Yeah, I had a good time with that one, too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's rarely talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We know it exists, but people rarely bring it up. They talk about the original because of the bullet time. They talk about 3 because it was kind of a departure from what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, just a different Max Payne type thing with it. So, yeah. What else do we have? The Switch 2 Mario Kart World Bundle. So, like, there were 2 SKUs of the Switch 2 you could buy.
Right.
One with Mario Kart World that costs, like, an extra $50, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the game itself is, like, 80.
Yeah.
Or 90.
It was the only way you got a discount.
It was the only way you got a discount on the game. Exactly. Or you could buy the console sans the game for, like, $50 less.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bundle package is ending. In other words, we're not making any more of the bundle package anymore. So you're only going to get the console itself until these run out. So there is a limited quantity of those still left, but, you know, they're still out there.
Are you surprised that Nintendo made a bundle at all? The way they are with costs and prices and all that?
It's rare that we get bundles. You know, it's rare that we get games that, or consoles that come with a game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times nowadays, you'll get a console that comes with some sort of small digital game, maybe. Like, mm-hmm. PlayStation 5 came with Astro's Playroom.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox didn't come with anything. Except the Xbox gives you, like, a month free of Game Pass, which gives you a ton of games.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want to do. But you rarely get that anymore. So, yeah, if it's going to bundle it like that, and it's going to be a discount at a discount for what the... You know, I picked up the Switch 2, the bundled version, because, well, at the time, we were dealing with tariffs. We didn't know if the price that they had set was going to stick or if it was going to go up. We knew it wasn't going to come down. We just didn't know if it was going to go up. And we didn't know if later in the year it was going to go up.
Yeah, especially with Nintendo, you know nothing's going down.
Right.
If at all. Yeah.
So we didn't know what was going to happen. There was like, you get it now, and if the price goes up, then, hey, good, you got it at this lower price.
Yeah. If you think about it, pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's only going to get worse.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I still haven't opened the damn thing up. It's just still sitting there waiting for me to optimize it, plug it in, you know, set it up, and do all that.
Yeah.
It's still sitting there. What else do we have? I'm going to skip that for a moment because I do want to talk about Vince Zampella. There's not much that I could really talk to you about him, but I'd rather him not be just a really quick throwaway to talk about. What else do we have? What are our PS Plus monthly games for January? I'm opening this up just to see what we got. Need for Speed Unbound. That's a Criterion developed game, by the way. Disney's Epic Mickey Rebrushed. And a game called Core Keeper. So, those are your three games for PS Plus members this month. Oh, let's see. January, it says January is a much busier for new video games than you think. What are we getting here? January is still positively loaded when it comes to new games. Whether you're looking for a new multiplayer game or a Metroidvania to fill the Hollow Knight Silksong-sized void in your soul, your backlog is about to fill up much faster than you think. Here's some highlights. Pathologic 3, which just came out. Big Hops, whatever that is. The Nintendo Switch 2 edition of Animal Crossing New Horizons comes out on the 15th. Legend of Heroes, Trails Beyond the Horizon, that is on the 15th as well. Mio, I'm not sure, Memories in Orbit, that comes out on January 22nd, that's a game I'm interested in. Perfect Tides, Station to Station, that's on the 22nd. Also on the 22nd, Ark Knights Endfield. On the 26th, Highguard. Highguard was the game they showed off at the end of the Game Awards recently. In other words, at the end of the Game Awards, it's always like, hey, here's our last little, you know, here's one more thing we want to show you. And they showed off Highguard. Nothing has been said since. They showed that trailer. The game comes out January 26th, but we have heard nothing since then. That's it. We got the debut of it at that Game Awards thing. That's all we know. They have said nothing else. It's a little, and so folks listening might be wondering, why is that a big deal? They haven't advertised. They haven't put it out there. They haven't talked about it. Nobody's mentioned anything about it. Nothing has been said. It was shown at a trailer at the end of a Game Awards one night back in December and has not been touched upon since.
Yeah.
And yet it gets a release in just a few weeks.
And you recall the crowd response to seeing that?
I think they hated it. Not because it was bad.
It was just dead.
Right, but because...
I think it's the genre is just...
Right, it's a
genre burnout.
Yes.
Is what it looked like.
What is it, a looter shooter type thing?
Hero style looter shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. A cast of original heroes, but it's not the same way with Marvel Rivals, because that's established characters that people all know and love. But this is a bunch of...
It's just one of those things where it's like, man, it's been done, and it's been done to death.
Yeah.
Seven Deadly Sins Origin comes out on the 28th. Cairn, a game I've been talking about for like a year now. The mountain climbing game, Cairn. Yeah. That comes out on, sounds like a bullet hitting a rock, right? Cairn.
Yeah.
January 29th is when that releases. A game called Don't Stop Girly Pop on January the 29th. That's fun to play. January 29th also sees a game called I Hate This Place, and then you get Code Vein 2. On January 30th. You're familiar with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see how much of a departure it is from the original. I saw the clips and videos and things like that. I mean, it's still vampire fighting, but some things have changed from the last go-around.
Karen. Okay. Enough of me playing. They're saying that. Yeah.
Bullets. Bullet effects.
It's Karen. That's Karen. Oh, if anybody wants to, I downloaded the demo and I need to play it. It might be something I do tomorrow. Dragon Quest VII Reimagined got a demo this week. It's on both console and it's on PC. The demo. The demo, by the way, the progress you make in the demo will carry over into the full game when you get it, whether it be on console or PC. You also get a special reward for playing the demo. When you get the full game, you'll get a special reward in the game. But, yeah, I'm kind of curious about that. I'm really kind of curious about that, which is why I downloaded the demo. So that might be something I do tomorrow. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll just, you know, finish up what we've got in the news here. It's really not that much. I mean, there's a lot, but is it worth talking about? Anyway, here's music from a game called Velgress, if I'm pronouncing that right. It's off of the game UFO 50. All of the music came from a game called UFO 50, with 50 different type of retro-style games. This is Velgress, and it's just level one. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back. That song goes down really fast. That was a 23-second song, and I apologize. It moved by so fast, I don't even remember the name of what it was. It's just there and then gone. 23-second, so I apologize. It comes from UFO 50, thank God, so I can tell you that much.
Yeah, you can get that much right.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. God, that was fast. Yeah, I wanted to mention Vince Zampella. He is the co-founder of Respawn Entertainment, and he's the head of the Battlefield series, working for EA. Vince was behind, like, Titanfall and Star Wars Battlefront, I think is what it was, or one of the Star Wars titles that they worked on. He passed away in a car accident just before Christmas, I believe, 55 years old. And you know, just wanted to really mention that. We never had him on the show. Not that it was something that we wouldn't have done. We never reached out to him to ever have him on the show. But yeah, he passed away. I mean, just tragic accident there. I don't necessarily know what this means for Respawn. Probably nothing. As far as like what they're working on or what's going to happen, but it really kind of you know, a sobering moment. In the community, he was very well liked. He wasn't one of those folks that really had any kind of baggage that came with them. In some cases, where we've seen with other developers who, you know, come with a little bit of side eye, I guess, on some of their ideas or takes or anything like that, some of their past. Vince seemed pretty good there. So, anyway, something to mention there. What else do we have? CD Projekt Red is selling good old games, so GOG is being sold, although they assure us that it is going into very good hands. What else do I have? If you're an Amazon Prime member, you're getting 23 games free this month. Mm. Almost a game a day. I need to fire mine up and collect whatever's been released so far. It's pretty good stuff that is available. What else do we have? Avowed. Remember me? I used to play. Remember me playing Avowed?
Yeah.
Played that for a while.
Hmm.
It's now getting, and it's an Xbox game. It's made by Obsidian. I believe it's Obsidian, and that is now getting a PlayStation release. It's one of those Xbox games that are getting released on a PlayStation.
Hmm.
Just one of those neat little crossovers that have happened, where you can find an Xbox game on a PlayStation. The DICE Awards. We got nominees for the DICE Awards. And if I can click on it. There it goes. I don't know why it wasn't working, but yeah. Which I'm sure it's going to be Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, running the, you know, running the gauntlet on this thing. Yep. Clair Obscur and Ghost of Yote lead the pack. 8 nominations each for those two games for the DICE Awards. February 12th is when the games awards will be live streamed out of Las Vegas. I'm trying to see if there's anything worth looking at. Outstanding achievement in animation, outstanding achievement in art direction, character, original music composition, audio design, story. South of Midnight made that a nomination for story. Clair Obscur is in there for story. Consume Me, that game about eating disorders,
mm-hmm.
is also in there for story.
That sounds like one of them games with impact type.
It is. Yeah, yeah. No, it was nominated for that, yeah. Outstanding mm-hmm. technical achievement, Donkey Kong Bonanza. Death Stranding 2 is in there. Ark Raiders, of course. Action Game of the Year, Absalom, that I talked about, is nominated. Ark Raiders is nominated. Mm-hmm. Ninja Gaiden 4 is nominated. Adventure Game of the Year, Donkey Kong Bonanza, Ghost of Yote. Blueprints is in there. That's interesting. Your Family Game of the Year, there's 2 Lego games in there. Fighting Game of the Year, I'll throw these out for you. 2XKO. Capcom Fighting Collection 2, Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, and...
Not that one.
Well, not this one either. WWE 2K25. There's not another fighting game that could be nominated in there instead of that? I have never...
Try to look at all that was released in 2025. Why not Revo?
I know.
Revo, yep, Revo was released, yeah. Revo was 2025. Why was that not put in there?
I don't know. You got your Racing Game of the Year. Mario Kart World is in there. Role-Playing Game of the Year. That's Clair Obscur. Sports Game. Strategy Simulation. Immersive Reality Technical Achievement.
Sounds new.
It does sound new. Immersive Reality Game of the Year. Oh, this is kind of VR, I guess, but yeah. I don't know.
Why don't they just call it VR instead of immersive reality?
I don't know.
It's like they're trying to sound bigger than they are. I don't know.
Outstanding achievement for an independent game. Blueprints is in there. Baby Steps, Consume Me, Despelote, and Dispatch. Mobile Game of the Year. Well, screw that. Online Game of the Year. Ark Raiders, Battlefield 6, Marvel Rivals, Split Fiction, Mario Kart World. Game Design, Kingdom Come, Deliverance 2, Hades 2, Game Direction, Blueprints, Clair Obscur, Game of the Year, Clair Obscur, Ghost of Yote, Ark Raiders, Blueprints, and Dispatch. Mm. I mean, anything that Clair is in is likely a win, given what we know.
Something I was thinking about with these categories. Outstanding achievement for an independent game. What exactly do you mean? Sales?
No.
What exactly did you achieve to, what do they consider an achievement for an independent game?
Not sales, maybe. I mean, if the reviews are good, but I mean, it's just a nomination that they gave it, just like anything else. I don't think it's based on reviews or it's based on sales. I think it's based on, hey, this was really good. This is a really good independent title. Balatro is a really good independent title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it didn't sell well, which usually if it's really good, it's probably going to sell well.
Yeah, it's probably
going
to sell well, yeah. So.
So, I mean, Balatro would be something that would have been nominated for, at, you know, for that time when it released. So it's just something that's really, really good, but it's also independent.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily their first title. It's not a debut game, but it's just an independent title.
Yeah. Because the first thing I thought about when I saw that category was sales. First thing was sales. Mm-hmm. It's got to be more. I'm thinking it's got to be more than that. Because,
oh, absolutely.
Or which one, or popularity, which one was talked about the most? Which one was the most unique? Because a lot of games nowadays are copycat more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the uniqueness factor, was that something to consider as well? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all.
So go figure.
I do not know. Mm. Well, we still got 15 minutes.
Yeah. Hmm. Dice Awards. Who's the voters in that one?
That's going to be, I believe, it's developers. In fact, the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences had revealed for the Dice Awards.
So they're the ones who pick, who choose the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, I believe
they,
it
they
is.
They make the nominees, put it out there, and then the developers vote on it.
I think I'm looking mm-hmm. here to see if I can find out more. The DICE Awards, formerly the Interactive Achievement Awards, is an annual award show in the video game industry and commonly referred to as the video game equivalent of the Academy Awards. The awards are arranged by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences and held during the annual DICE Summit in Las Vegas. DICE is a backronym for Design, Innovate, Communicate, Entertain. The DICE Awards recognizes games, individuals, and development teams that have contributed to the advancement of the multi-billion dollar worldwide entertainment software industry. The finalists in each category are selected by a peer panel assembled by the AIAS of over 100 video game professionals across several facets of the industry, including developers, programmers, artists, and publishers, which is published on the AIAS website each year. The nominees are then voted on by the full membership of AIAS, which is over 33,000 members, via a confidential and secured voting system. And then they're announced at the DICE Summit in Las Vegas. So that gives you an idea of who's involved.
I guess with all these awards and things coming up, you know, we always talk about...
Wow, they've been doing this since 1998.
Yeah. I just always think about which one has the most credibility.
This one or the BAFTAs? Mm-hmm. Now, the BAFTAs is their British version of... the same thing.
Yeah.
Going back to 1998 for the DICE Awards, the game of the year was GoldenEye on the N64, which makes a lot of sense. That thing was huge.
Everybody was playing that.
Yeah. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time in 99. In 2000, it was The Sims. Halo won it in 2002. The first Call of Duty got it in 2004. Well earned. Half-Life 2 picked it up in 2005. Uncharted 2 picked it up in 2010. Skyrim got it in 2012. The Last of Us in 2014. Fallout 4 in 2016. God of War in 2019. Hades got it in 2021. Elden Ring picked it up in 2023. Astrobot picked it up in 2025, and I'm almost guaranteed to tell you that Clair Obscur will pick it up in 2025? Yeah, they got it for 2024. It was announced in 2025.
Yeah, yeah.
So for 2025, it'll be Clair Obscur. I'm almost positive to tell you that. So for the DICE Awards. I haven't paid attention to my... chat room here.
Mm-hmm.
Split Fiction. Tharse finished up Split Fiction. I'm interested in that one. I didn't see a good sale on it for the holiday sale, but it's something they'll eventually pick up because I am interested in that.
Has it been received well?
Yeah, it's from the game. It's from those game makers that do all the co-op games.
It Takes Two,
A Way Out, and Brothers: Tale of Two Sons, that sort of thing.
Hayes Light Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're really good at making co-op games.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a Developer Direct coming up on January 22nd from Xbox. Hopefully we'll finally get a release date for Fable. That's what Thar would like.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that as well, although I don't necessarily think we're going to get one. I'm not sure what they're going to be showing off at that thing, but I don't know why. I just don't think we're going to get one. I don't have much time to go into this, but Troy Baker said something about AI, and I haven't read the article. Okay. Troy Baker, the voice guy who does the Indiana Jones voice there, Last of Us. He was Joel in Last of Us. He sounds a bit more optimistic than most. In a chat with The Game Business via Eurogamer, Baker said he's not scared of AI tech and suggested that when it all shakes out, a big impact of AI could be to renew people's interest in human-made art over machine-generated content. This is quoting him. AI can create content, but it cannot create art. And the reason why is because that invariably requires the human experience. What I see happening is that this birth of AI and this burgeoning industry of it is actually going to drive people to the authentic. And we're going to see opportunities of, I want to go and watch this person sing this song live. I want to see theater. I want to read books. I want to have this firsthand experience as opposed to the gruel that gets distilled to me through a black mirror. As for artists themselves, Baker doesn't see their role changing. People go, look, what can AI do? It's like, yeah, okay, I see what it's capable of doing. It doesn't matter. And we don't need to diminish it. We don't need to denigrate it. We don't need to demonize it. We just need to go, okay, it's there. But it still doesn't remove the choice for me as a performer, as a producer, to go, but I choose to do this. If anyone's scared of AI, reckons Baker, it's people that are dealing in the business of content rather than capital A art. There is no doubt that AI can make content way better than humans. By far, it can crank it out, no problem. It can create content, but it cannot create art. And the reason why is because that invariably requires the human experience. Now, the author of this article says, call me cynical, but this strikes me as a downright Panglossian take on the potential impact of AI on human artists. He's not wrong, obviously. Artists still want to create art, even if everyone has ArtBot 3000 on their phones. But the fact of the matter is that under capitalism, there's not a clean delineation between the worlds of business and art. In fact, they're imbricated at practically every angle. Unless you possess pre-existing wealth, you need someone to pay you for the art you create in order to put food on your table. Sure, Baker might be right that AI won't kill the human desire to produce art, or even the desire to experience human-made art. But if the people holding the purse strings aren't paying for it to be made, then those desires amount to precisely diddly squat. If the suits are allowed to push us into an all-AI future they so desperately want, then the future will be incredibly bleak for artists.
What's that term? Starving artist?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been hard to push art. I mean, very few get to that upper echelon of being able to make enough money, like you said, to put food on the table. But what I've always said, man, business is going to business. And whatever's the cheapest option of getting the part that they want put out, that's what they're going to use. And if AI does that, why pay you when this computer program we invested so much in will do it a fairly good enough job for a much cheaper price in the long run?
Which is something he obviously has yet to experience.
He's Troy Baker.
I know.
Yeah, he's
right
up but there with voice actors, but he hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't
I can get imitation Troy Baker off of AI.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, he hasn't, I don't think he's had that, I don't know that he's had yet to experience that. where I can take his voice. I can just look.
Highlight that part you said, yet.
Yet.
Because it is. It's coming.
Right.
It's coming.
No, it absolutely is coming. Because they're spending so much on video games these days to make them.
Mm-hmm.
That when they get down to it, it's like...
obscure.
Yeah. It's like, where can we... The big ones are doing that. It's like, where can we cut costs? Well, we can have AI do the voice stuff. Although, I don't necessarily know that they will.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they'll move towards AI working to replace more people on the development team than they would make on the production side of things. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we can still pay these voice actors. In fact, we can save money to spend on the voice actors by using AI to implement coding and implement game development.
I mean, hey, you got AI writing scripts, don't you?
You got AI. No. You got AI making songs. Like, full-on, written, produced songs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are absolute crap, but they're doing it.
Well, it's like, is it the same ratio as actual performers nowadays?
Oh, it'll be even more. It'll be more so. Yeah. AI can crank out a song in no time.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you wanted it?
Performers make a whole bunch of garbage, and then you got a couple that make that's good and gets popular. Is AI about the same rate or less?
That I'm not sure of.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because so far, and I'm not saying that it's happened yet, but so far when you're talking about music, so far I don't know of a record company that has sort of signed on to distribute an AI piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't heard of any of these record companies sending out like, hey, here's a new song. It's made completely from AI. Would you like to play it? I mean, it does exist, but I haven't heard it being picked up yet by any reputable publishers or anything like that, like record labels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely being done.
Yeah.
And when they find it, when they find the right one that does that connection, that makes that money... This is why my memory is going up. This is why the price of my memory is going up. They keep wanting to do more AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't mind. I don't mind AI as a tool, by the way. I don't necessarily mind AI to assist in things. I'm not saying actually replacing a human. I'm saying if I write something out, I don't mind the AI going through it and saying, well, maybe you would like it to sound like this or change it this way or whatever the case.
To tweak it a bit.
Just to kind of proofread my stuff, if that's the case. In that form, I can't really necessarily see too much of an issue with it. But like in creating art, which is one of the first things I ever did with AI, was like, give me an image of blah, you know, and just throw it out there. And it like gave me something. And I was like, wow, that's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right. And it was at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything started to look the same and started having that. And this is now in the dictionary and lexicon and everything. It started having that slop. You know, that sort of AI slop to it. Now we have videos that I don't know if that's AI or not. You have to look real hard to make sure that you have to look at little things. We certainly made
people more scrutinize what they see on the internet a lot more. Yeah.
We have very little time. We're running out of time. But I remember something. It was right after Thanksgiving, and Greg was here and he had a video.
Mm-hmm.
Of like the family at a table, and there was this dog, and he jumped up on the table and started eating the turkey and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and there was a reaction and everything else.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh man, that's wow, that happened." And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked closer, and I was like, "Wait a second, I don't think that's. I think that's fake.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really good, but it was fake because like you could, if you looked at like where the dog was stepping, none of the plates were moving.
Yeah,
nothing was like reacting.
Yeah, it's like
in a physical like." Sense
yeah,
to what's that?
The typical thing phasing through the shadows are misplaced that didn't like you said that didn't move
right
so, the physics don't work here you know trajectories and things like that so people like I said people really scrutinize what they're looking at
but it's like a 15 second clip and you know
it's getting looked at and scrutinized
right and all you do is you see that little bit and it's like dog ate the turkey that's funny and you look at it and it's like oh wait that's complete that never even happened it's completely fake I don't know I think that he's wrong here in a lot of ways. That Baker is wrong here, which is fine. He's, right or wrong, it doesn't matter.
It's just his opinion. So yeah.
And it says he is not wrong. Artists still want to create art. I mean, that goes without saying. But like I said, I think AI can be used as a tool to help, not necessarily enhance art or anything like that, but to maybe refine or point out better ways, I suppose, that you could do things. Maybe, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really implemented it into anything other than maybe writing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're behind. We got to go. Sorry. It's one of those things, like AI conversation is absolutely worth having, and I would love to. But yeah, so music that we have left is something called Tactics. A Tactics is the name of the game from UFO 50. It's the gameplay music. So that's what we're going out on. Thank you guys for coming back after the 2 weeks off. We're going to go through another year, season 20 in full effect, and we appreciate you being here along with us for the ride. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday.